I was listening to that guy singing Every Valley on the recording, and I thought to myself, how in the world does he get through those long phrases on one breath? I couldn't get through Gloria with one breath. I used to be able to do that. What happened? I don't understand that. You too, huh? Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, and the rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. If you were here last week, you know that these verses are the framework for all of the Sundays of Advent this year. And you'll also remember that last week we had a little word play on the word adventure. Remember that? Adventure. And we talked about going into an adventure with God during this season of the year. And we began our adventure last week saying that every valley will be raised up. Some translations are every valley will be exalted, as it was for Handel when he wrote Messiah. We talked about the spiritual meaning of those words in that portion of Scripture. And then I started meddling in your life. You remember that? And I asked you to go home and face the valleys in your life that need to be raised up. And then I gave you an assignment. Did you do it? The assignment was to go home, identify at least one valley in your life, as we talked about last week, and then do what John the Baptist preached, if it was needed, and that is repent. And then have an honest conversation with God about it. And finally, turn it over to Him. Give it to Him. Let go and let Him. He wants to and He will. He wants to and He will raise it up if you ask Him. And again, I ask you, did you do it? If so, I pray that you have started a great adventure this Advent season, and that Jesus Christ is going to fill in those valleys in your life. If you did not do it, however, why not? Did you forget? Did you just ignore the idea? Are you afraid to face your valleys? Do you really want God's blessings in your life? Do you care? Brothers and sisters, I cannot do it for you. You have to move closer to Jesus. You have to take those steps. He's there for you. I can't do it for you. He did not come to be a resident just of Bethlehem and Nazareth and Jerusalem. He came to be a resident in your life, in your heart. He is as close to you right now as you're breathing. Let's pretend like we're in the doctor's office for a moment. Take a deep breath. Exhale. Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, is right there in that breath. That's how close He is. Are you willing to be adventurous? And are you willing to take His hand and let Him take your hand and do whatever He wants to do in your life? Don't let this Advent season just be another show of the world's traditions. Okay, so today we come to the second phrase of this passage. And as I said earlier, this prophecy of Isaiah is also a promise. And by the way, I'm going to be giving you the same assignment during this sermon as I did last week. Here it comes. Every mountain and hill will be made low. Now, you may be wondering why Isaiah gave us a negative metaphor about mountains. Because after all, the Bible is filled with positive messages about mountains. For instance, Noah's Ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. Abraham sacrificed Isaac on Mount what? Moriah. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Oh, you're afraid to answer. I know what it's like when the teachers, you're a teacher, you know, when the teacher asks for the answer, the class just kind of whispers, I'm afraid I'm going to say it wrong. Moses saw the promised land from the top of a mountain named Mount Nebo. Thank you, John. Elijah proved God's power by calling fire out of heaven on Mount Carmel. The transfiguration of Jesus Christ took place on Mount Tabor and also on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. I mean, that was ground zero on the Mount of Olives for the ministry of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be ground zero on his second advent when he comes back again. Why? We even say, sometimes when we have great experiences, we say, that was a mountaintop experience, you know, very positive. So why did Isaiah give us this negative metaphor about mountains and hills? For the obvious reasons that they can also be obstacles. They can get into our way. And in the spiritual language of this particular prophecy, they are huge obstacles to our faith. And they can come between you and God. They can. They can come between you and God. Just like those negative valleys we talked about last week, there are negative mountains and hills in your life that need to go. They need to go. If they interfere with your relationship with God, they must go. Now, this is where I start to meddle once again, just like last week. And I want you to understand something. I am not talking to someone on the other side of the room. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, brothers and sisters. So straighten up and listen, and if you need to, turn up your hearing aid. What are some of the mountains and the hills in your life that can come between you and God? I picked a bunch of them out of the air, and I don't know, just the ones that came to my mind, and they're in no particular order. The first one is worry. Do you worry all the time? Everyone worries some of the time, but are you one of those people for whom worry is a way of life? You worry that you won't be able to fall asleep at night. And then you worry that you won't be able to wake up in the next morning. And then you worry about what you're going to eat. And then you worry that your hair will be okay when you go to that special event. And then you worry about the kids. And then you worry about the grandkids. And don't forget the weather. You got to worry about the weather. It's amazing when I stand out in the foyer on Sunday mornings and I hear the laundry list that comes through the door. I just named a whole bunch of them right there. Worry can become an addiction. Are you listening? Worry can become an addiction. It can cancel out any of the joy and the power that you have in God Almighty because you allow worry to get in between you and your God. Besides, who wants to be around a worry wart? Worry warts just take too much of my time and energy. Don't they, you? You just, oh, not that again. Jesus made it very clear in the Sermon on the Mountain that worrying about everything is what pagans do. That's what he said. That's what pagans do. It's clearly an obstacle to faith. And let's not forget what Jesus said to his closest disciples. In Matthew 17, verse 20, he said, I tell you the truth. Now, if Jesus Christ stood before you and he said, I tell you the truth, would that get your attention? The King of Kings, the King of the universe, I tell you the truth. And that means listen. He said, if you have faith, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, there it is, mountain, you can say to that mountain, move. I wonder if that's how he said it. Or he said, move. I have no idea. Move from here to there. And then he goes on and he says, it will move. Nothing is impossible for you. That is a challenging statement. That is a really challenging statement. That's what he said. Do you believe it? I don't know whether he meant it's going to move literally or it's going to be a spiritual thing. I don't know exactly what he meant. But it's a challenging statement. If you are a worry wart, it is nearly impossible for you to change it. But Jesus Christ came to abolish worry. Your assignment is to have an honest conversation with God about your habit, your addiction, your need to worry, and turn it over to Him. Give it to Him. He's waiting for you, and He is more than willing to do that. Okay, here's another mountain that can separate you from God. And probably every single one of us suffers with this one. Addiction. I'm not talking about drugs and alcohol. I could talk about that, but I'm not. I'm talking about some other addictions that may be your mountains. And I'm going to start with this one. Gossip. Told you I was going to meddle. Gossip. Do you love to gossip? Do you love to listen to gossip? Are you addicted to gossip? By the way, this is not something that affects only women. Men, you know as well as I do that we can love to hear gossip too, and we can love to participate in gossip too. It's appealing, and that's where addictions start. When it's appealing, we like it, and that's where addictions start. Now, gossip may not be your addiction. Well, let's get a different one. What about your computer? Or your iPad? Or your iPhone? Can you live without those things? Is one of them always within your reach? Do you look at your screen more than you look into the eyes of your spouse? Do you spend more time with your electronics than you do in prayer? And I won't even mention God's word. Well, I guess I just did, didn't I? As helpful and as innocent and as fun as those electronics are, we can be addicted to them so much that they become a mountainous obstacle to a healthy spiritual life. You know, when you gain too much weight, you say, I'm going to diet starting next week. Well, when you spend too much time wedded to your electronics, you might say, I'm going to start cutting back next week. No. Today, tonight, have an honest talk with God and ask Him to show you any of those electronic hills or mountains that come between you and your walk with Him. And when you do that, you'll begin an adventure this Advent, an adventure. And you might have a new and a deeper relationship with Him at the end of it that you never thought possible. This is what Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, And all these things will be added to you as well. Now, you may think that I'm having fun meddling in your life. I'm not, because I'm meddling in mine too. All of us deal with mountains like these. And here's another one. Do you suffer from a wounded spirit? Has someone hurt you and you just can't let go of it? Proverbs 8:14, a crushed spirit, who can bear? There are many things inside each and every one of us that we try to hide from one another. I'm going to say that again. There are many things inside each one of us that we try to hide from one another. But one of the things that's very, very difficult to hide is a wounded spirit. Your eyes betray you. Just look into the eyes of a wounded soul, and you can see something is amiss there. Or maybe you have the inability to listen to other people. You talk all the time, but you don't listen. Or maybe it's your clothing. When you have a wounded spirit, you wear it on the outside. You may not realize you're wearing it, but there it is. You wake up in the morning and you go to your closet and you dress yourself with self-pity. And you carry it around everywhere you go and other people can see it. It creeps into your conversations. And it robs you of having fun when other people around you are having fun. It can make you crawl into some kind of invisible shell somewhere. And others think, well, what's going on with her? What's going on with him? Do you think Jesus Christ came so that you can be filled with unforgiveness and self-pity? No. He came so that you can have life and have it abundantly. Say amen, somebody. One of the big reasons that some people get depressed during the Christmas season is because they're holding on to a wounded spirit. Is that you? If so, that is a huge mountain and a wall that separates you from God and God from you. So go home today and have an honest talk with God about that. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Claim it. That's for you, whoever you are, that's for you. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You know, you know that verse very well. I know that verse very well. We sang it in the church choir when I was in junior high, middle school, and in high school, and in college, and as an adult. Cast thy burden. And as I was reading that scripture, I realized that I have focused on the casting part, but I have not focused on the end of it. He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. Oh, just like the valleys, there are many more mountains than there are hills that can separate us from Jesus and separate us from one another sometimes. And did you notice that every one of them that we've mentioned so far are man-made? You see, you and I are really good mountain builders. And that is not a positive statement. We could go in and talk about a lot of them. I had a long list, and here's just some of them I thought of that I'm not going to talk about. Jealousy. Disobedience, anger, a lack of prayer, hypocrisy. Oh, and here's one that's really good for the Christmas season. Overcommitment. Huge mountain. But let's bring this plane in for a landing, shall we? I'm just going to give one more. Here it is. Christmas! Have you ever thought about the possibility that Christmas can be a mountain or a hill messing up your relationship with God? I'm not talking about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Christmas. It did not start in Bethlehem. It started in pagan Rome. The Romans celebrated two holidays during the month of December. The first of those holidays was Saturnia, and Saturnia was a festival to honor their god Saturn, the god of agriculture. And then the second holiday they celebrated, it started in the year 336, they celebrated on December 25, can you believe that? On December 25, they celebrated the birth of Mithra, their sun god. And how did they celebrate those two gods? They had big meals. Really? What a good idea. They had drunken parties. Really? What a great idea. Okay? And since it was the darkest at that time of the year, because, you know, the sun and the, you know, longer nights and shorter days and all that, they lit bonfires outside and they lit candles inside so that they could chase away the darkness. And then Christianity began to spread all over Europe, and the clergy decided that they wanted to do away with all those pagan customs, but they failed. They could not do it. And since no one really knew when the birth of Jesus Christ actually was, most scholars think it was April, not December, they decided, since no one knew, they would adopt what the Romans had started. They would adopt December 25 as the day to commemorate his birth. And the hope was that by honoring Christ on December 25, that the pagans would get the message and that they would change their ways. However, it didn't happen. The opposite happened. For instance, the pagans thought that the evergreen tree had magical powers because it stayed green all year. And so they took the evergreen tree and they put it in their temples of worship, and they put metal objects on the evergreen trees to give glory to their pagan gods. And in Europe, in Germany actually, the tribes there adopted the evergreen tree in the worship of Woden. And Woden was one of their gods. Now, he was a very complex character because he was widely known as the god of war, not peace, the god of war. But he was also important as the god of learning and poetry. And, are you ready for this? The god of magic. He was also called by nicknames. One of them was the Lord of Frenzy. And this one, the Leader of the Possessed. And the Germans dedicated his evergreen tree to him with candles and dried fruit on them. Well, the earliest Christians came to America, and you know what they did? They banned Christmas. They banned it. But then more Europeans arrived, and they kept bringing over all these pagan traditions, more and more of them, and it just didn't work. So, after the Civil War, any of you around for the Civil War? I'm not sure. After the Civil War, President Ulysses S. Grant wanted to find a way to unite the country again. And so on June 26, 1870, he declared December 25 as a federal holiday. Not a sacred holiday, not a Christian holiday, but a federal holiday. In other words, he said, it belongs to everybody. Now today, Christmas is filled with beautiful, touching, inspiring traditions and music. It's no wonder that we all love it so much. But for many people, if not for most people, the Jesus part is just an afterthought. If you are not careful, the many traditional ways in which you spend your time and your money in celebrating Christmas can become like a mountain that separates you from the Christ of Christmas, a mountain of your own making. Please don't misunderstand me. I am not a Scrooge. I do not look like one. I do not want to sound like one. I am not one. I don't want to be one. I am not saying that your traditional celebrations of the Christmas season are satanic. I am not saying that they are evil. Oh, they could be. I'm not saying that. They started that way. But they have been adopted now by true believers. And they've become things that bless us and inspire us. What I am saying is this. You may not be able to see over that hill or that mountain if you do not keep Jesus Christ as the focus of Advent and Christmas. Amen. Told you I'm preaching to myself, okay? If you're not careful, you might start worshiping the traditions of Christmas rather than the Christ of Christmas. So what am I suggesting we do? The same as before. I invite you, I encourage you, I urge you to do your part in making Advent an exciting adventure with God. Go home. List the valleys that need to be exalted. That was last week's assignment. Go home, list the mountains in your life that need to be made low. Name them, take authority over them. And then have an honest talk with God about them and turn them over to Him, cast them to Him, and let Him heal whatever needs to be healed. Put your arms around Him and let Him put His arms around you. And I want you to note this. Next week, I'm going to ask you the same question. Did you do it? Let us pray. Father God, this has been a soul-searching time of meddling into everyone's life here. And you know, Lord, the secrets of our hearts. And you know whether we're sincere with you or not sincere with you. You know whether we are worshiping you or we're worshiping food and decorations and color and candles. You know all that, Lord. So, Father, may we indeed have an honest, honest, soul-bearing conversation with you about who you are and who we are and who you want us to be. And may this Christmas be filled with Christ. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.